We just heard about how people are trying to move on after Ecuador's earthquake. My colleague Sonia Narang has gone back to Nepal to find out what life is like for people there who lost their homes in the massive quake 1 year ago Monday. Today she has the story of 12-year-old Shrisha Dual and her family.
When Shrisha Dual takes me to the spot where her house used to stand in Bhaktapur, outside Kathmandu, there's just a gaping hole. There's nothing left except for a few broken clay pots, one slipper, and big piles of bricks.
There were 20 houses here. All 20 of them have been destroyed. It pains my heart to stand here. It hurts to see everyone else's houses gone too.
She says a lot of books are under the ground here. A lot of school stuff, a lot of clothes. Many of her school uniforms are still buried under the rubble. Now she lives with her mother, father, brother, and grandfather in a one-room tin shack in a camp for those who lost their homes. It's about 10 minutes away from their old home. In the camp, they have to cook outside, which means making dinner in the dark by the light of the fire. Shrisha sits on the ground and helps her mother by slicing potatoes and onions. Even in these makeshift conditions, Shrisha's mother is able to cook a pot full of vegetables for dinner. Shrisha shows me inside the room. The walls are made of corrugated metal sheets with a tarp for a roof. Clothes hang from long wires next to large bags overflowing with yarn. She and her mother knit gloves for extra money. Shrisha likes to joke about the giant rats that run around the shack.
We have killed so many already, but no matter how many we kill, it seems like we have the same amount of rats.
And there's no escape from the weather.
It's very hot in here. During storms, the wind blows the dust inside and makes everything dirty in our small room. When it rains, water leaks inside.
But as a kid, she's most annoyed by the fact the TV doesn't work properly.
Only half of the screen lights up when we try to watch TV. So I think, what's even the point?
Shrisha is a really bright kid and very confident. She's in eighth grade, but it's so hard to study in these conditions with a never-ending loud construction noise across the street. And when she's at school, the other kids taunt her.
They tell me, you don't even have a house to live in. How are you living in one room?
This camp was meant to be a temporary shelter while families rebuilt their homes. But the government has been very slow in doling out funds for reconstruction. Ironically, Shrisha's father is a construction worker who spends his days working on other people's homes. What little money he earns, he puts towards school fees for his kids.
I think we'll have to stay here for a long time to come.
A few days later, I joined the family for the Nepali New Year. They take me up to a tiny dark room on the third floor in an abandoned building next to their old house. It's rickety and the floor shakes when anyone walks. But they're determined to celebrate outside of the camp.
Cheers.
We drink Mountain Dew soda and eat rice and vegetables. Through the window, their old neighborhood still looks like a bombed out war zone. I think of the other day when I asked Shrisha what keeps her going.
It is the dream of having my own house one day and my own room that gives me the strength.
After the New Year's meal, Shrisha, her dad, and cousins lead me through a maze of historic alleyways full of festivities near her old house. We try some of Bhaktapur's famous king curd, a delicious sweet yogurt, and stop at a temple ceremony. In this moment, Shrisha seems really happy and poses for pictures. For the world, I'm Sonia Narang, Bhaktapur, Nepal.
Now that you've heard Shrisha tell her story, you'll want to see her. We have Sonia's beautiful photos at PRI.org. And tomorrow, Sonia visits a remote mountain village to check on a community health worker she profiled in 2013.